friends and loved ones, this is a program that suggests existing in reality, the reality that is real rather than a reality which is not real, which we might prefer. And the reality is that President Joe Biden has clinched the 2024 Democratic presidential nomination. It's over on the basis of a number of primaries that were held last night. And it is now time to deal with reality. Do we want the next president of the United States to be Joe Biden, or do we want the next president of the United States to be Donald Trump? Here is the moment last night when CNN was able to make this projection on the basis of the results. Take a listen.
Second.
That's not enough.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to come right back to you, but I do just want everyone to know we do now have a CNN projection.
Wow.
And we can now project at CNN that President Biden has enough delegates to win the Democratic nomination for the 2024 presidential election. And as we've been saying, this is a major and historic moment in the race. Biden now pushing ahead with his reelection bid, and the state that got him over the edge, a state that got him over the top, we'll see in hindsight how significant that is the state of Georgia, where polls just closed at the top of the hour. Took us just under 11 minutes here to make this formal call, and we are now projecting Georgia is a win for Biden.
All right. So my approach going forward, before I even get to that, okay, let's have the conversation, right? Protest votes, symbolic votes, sending a message, showing I'm really upset, preferring somebody younger. Okay, it's all valid. It's all valid. It's part of the democratic process. 1,000%. We now have to really couch our actions in the following way. Am I taking an action that is going to make the next president be Joe Biden, or am I taking an action that's going to make the next president be Donald Trump? It's not about shaming. It's not about saying that we would be better off with a ranked choice voting or single transferable vote system. We would. It's not about saying we wouldn't be better off with a national popular vote. We would be better off with a national popular vote. It's the reality that if you vote for Cornel West by writing him in, I think in just about every state other than Utah, maybe because he's not on any ballots. If you write in Cornel West, it's an action that helps Trump become the next president. My ethics and morality do not comport or coincide with actions that help Donald Trump become the next president. And I feel compelled to say this only because of the emails I continue to get. This isn't because I personally will benefit from Biden being president. I know I get emails about, David, you're going to cry when Trump becomes president. I can't wait to see the tears. I've been super honest. And, you know, I was just in D.C. and met with a bunch of other creators. We all realize we do better. We make more money if Trump is the next president. So this idea that it's going to be a personal devastation as someone who lives in a blue state. You know, everybody who was there mostly was in either New York or California, essentially. It's not because we are going to be the ones that suffer under Trump. It's because many people would suffer. Now, I know there's this idea of, well, might Trump put you in a camp or shut you down? Or I'm not big enough for Trump to pay attention to me. OK, so that's not a concern. So because I can't in good faith undertake an action that helps Trump become the next president, I will be voting for Joe Biden. Everybody can use whatever sort of barometer, test, whatever you want to do. But my priority is we've got to keep Trump out. If he wins, the show will do great. You know, I'll benefit financially, but it would be the wrong thing and a bad thing for so many tens of millions of Americans. So Joe Biden is now the nominee. And we are going to have to work within that reality. And important in considering what that reality is also understanding what's happening on the Republican side, which is very similar. In the midst of endless legal chaos and hundreds of millions of dollars in judgments against him, failed former President Donald Trump a civilly liable rapist with 91 felony counts against him, has also clinched the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. We learned that yesterday as well. And this is the first presidential rematch since 1956. That's, let me think, 2024 minus 1956. That's what, like 140 years or something like that. Maybe my math is off a bit. This is something that happened very quickly in terms of securing party nominations. As you can see here, we have very early nominations secured on both sides. And indeed, Donald Trump is what MAGA and Republicans have chosen. Now, interestingly enough, many Republicans did not want this. Nikki Haley, even after dropping out last week, getting a bunch of votes in some of yesterday's primaries. But Trump has done it. And Trump taking to a camera and recording a very strange statement about how terrible everything is and how he is honored to be representing the Republican Party.
Our nation is failing. We're a nation that is in serious decline.
The country stinks. It's terrible. Thank you for selecting me.
We've never had a situation like this where we're not respected, we're laughed at, we're considered almost a joke.
Right. The reason we are considered almost a joke is that the Republican Party is again selecting Donald Trump to be their nominee. That's why we are seen as somewhat of a joke. Trump also taking to his platform Truth Social and putting out the following statement, quote, "It is my great honor to be representing the Republican Party as its presidential nominee. Our party is united and strong," literally untrue in the sense that Nikki Haley got a ton of the vote, "and fully understands that we are running against the capital W worst, most incompetent, corrupt, and destructive president in the history of the United States. Millions of people are invading our capital C country, many from prisons and mental institutions of other countries." That's a lie. "High interest rates and inflation are choking our great middle class." Remember, inflation is down dramatically. "And all our economy is bad, and our stock market is rising only because polls are strongly indicating that we will win the presidential election of 24. There's no evidence of that. We are now under crooked Joe Biden, a third world nation which uses the injustice system to go after his political opponent, me. But fear not, we will not fail. We will take back our once great capital C country, put America first, and make America great again, greater than ever before. November 5th will go down as the most important day in the history of our capital C country. God bless America." Well, I hope that November 5th does go down as an important day from the standpoint of positive. And what I mean by that is it really is an inflection point. Do we allow the most ignorant and deranged to say 4 more years of Trump? Or do we say, hey, you know what? I don't need to be in a cult. I can just look at what Biden has done and say, hey, it's pretty good. Let's give him another 4 years. We will see that on November 5th. And as you can see, Donald Trump continuing to put down the country, something that at one point was verboten for Republicans or anybody to do. No, America's always great. You never go with America stinks. But Trump is now in America stinks and I will fix it. We will later in the show see how a cultist deprogrammed herself. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But tens of millions of these folks continue to say, I want more of this. The good thing, if you're looking at this from trying to keep Trump out, Trump's unpopularity higher than ever. I want to talk about that a little bit next. Egocentric narcissist Donald Trump was reportedly stunned to learn how unpopular he really is based on new polling. Let's take a look. Newsweek reports Trump continues to have a low favorability score among Americans, according to new polling. An ABC News Ipsos survey found that 29%, that's right, that's a 2 followed by a 9, 29% have a favorable view of the former president, compared to 59% who view him unfavorably. Trump's popularity has remained largely unchanged since last summer. The rating did dip at one point to 25%. Meanwhile, the same, and this, we'll talk about this too, the same poll finds Biden is also unpopular, although his unfavorability rating is slightly lower. 33% view Biden positively versus 54% who view him unfavorably. And that's something I want to talk about in detail. There are people who will see this poll, who will hear me talking about this, who will say, oh, but what about Biden? Biden's also not super popular, and he's currently the president. Well, there's a couple different things that are important to mention here. The big story that we're hearing from many on the right and some on the left is Trump will easily win. Well, if we look at the polling I told you about yesterday, Biden's leading a number of new polls, not all of them, but the idea that it's obvious that Trump is going to win is not borne out by the new electoral polling that we see. We now have favorability polling. Biden's doing better than Trump. So again, it's not delightfully high numbers. We have a hyperpartisan world in which it's hard to get any significant favorability at this point in time, but it's certainly not obvious that Trump's going to win from looking at the favorability numbers. When you hear the story, Biden has no shot, Trump's going to win, and you say, well, Biden's more popular, not by much, but Biden's more popular. He already won in 2020. And so Trump needs to overcome not only the starting point, which was he already lost in 2020. He is now less popular than Biden. Now, nothing is a guarantee, but the obviously he can't win story is simply not based in any empirical fact. But let's add another aspect to this. When you are the president, you have a number of additional paths to unfavorability. And oftentimes, when your presidency is more in the past, like, for example, George W. Bush, by the standards of 20 years ago, was not a popular president, and he left office with a then low approval rating. Since then, because he's painting pictures and painting paintings, I guess we would say, painting portraits and saying he's not big on Trump and whatever, we've sort of forgotten about the atrocities of George W. Bush. Some of us have. And his favorability has gone up. It is always harder to maintain favorability when you are currently the president, because anything that goes wrong, anything people don't like, gets pinned on you. And on the other hand, former presidents often enjoy growing favorability. So that's also important, which is even with Biden as the current president, blamable for everything, he still is more favorably seen than Trump, who's now been out of office for nearly 4 years. So is there any guarantee here? Of course not. We all need to vote. Nothing is assumed. Nothing is taken for granted. But if your argument is the voting polls show Trump obviously will win, they don't. And if your argument is the favorability polls show Trump will obviously win, that also is not the case. Let me know your thoughts on all of this. Biden clinching, Trump clinching, favorability. I want to hear from you. info@davidpakman.com. We'll take a quick break. We will look at these hearings, explosive hearings that took place yesterday with Robert Hur, after this very short break. When you log into your Google or Facebook account, these companies have your IP address, which is valuable to them, because when you do all of your other browsing online, almost every site on the web is sending your IP address and browsing activity back to those big tech companies so they know what you do across the internet. The only solution is to hide your IP address while you're online using a VPN. I use Private Internet Access, the only VPN that has proven multiple times in court they do not log your activity. Private Internet Access is optimized for streaming and for large downloads. You can access content on streaming platforms like Netflix that's normally only available in other countries. Private Internet Access now has 91 country servers to pick from and new dedicated IP locations. It also comes with their built-in ad and malware blocker called Mace, which blocks virtually all pop-ups. Private Internet Access is giving my audience 83% off, comes out to $203 a month, plus 4 extra months for free. Go to PIAVPN.com/David. The link is in the podcast notes. One of our sponsors today is BetterHelp. Viewers of the show, listeners know I'm a big advocate of therapy. I think it's important to make it more accessible, remove any stigma that might be associated. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is therapy done entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. I'm a huge believer in talk therapy, and BetterHelp is making it more accessible to more people. You can even find a therapist who specializes in certain areas, which maybe you can't find where you are geographically. There are lots of great benefits to doing therapy online. Get it off your chest. Visit BetterHelp. Go to BetterHelp.com/Pacman Show today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Pacman Show. The link is in the podcast notes. I often struggle to find a good pair of socks that fits right and is comfortable. Our sponsor, Strideline, have developed the most comfortable socks on earth. They have it trademarked, and it's true. They really are that comfortable. I love my Strideline socks. Strideline has spent years developing extraordinarily comfortable, functional socks that you just have to try to understand. Every Strideline sock gives you zoned cushioning, direct compression with a contour fit, and hydrophobic moisture wicking to prevent the rubbing and the smells. Strideline is also officially a partner of the NFL, MLB, NCAA, and Major League Soccer. So Strideline is where you can go to keep your feet warm on game day. I picked up these awesome New England Patriots socks, even though the Patriots are okay. Anyway, I also love Strideline because they offer socks made from recycled plastic bottles that come out of the ocean, so you can make your feet and the earth more comfortable. And Strideline supports what we do at the David Pacman Show, another great reason to support them. Enhance your comfort with an exclusive 15% discount using the code David at Strideline.com. That's Strideline.com. Use the code Pacman for 15% off. Info is in the podcast notes. If you've ever wondered how our program is financed, it's mostly thanks to our audience. We have something called the membership program. It involves the full experience, which is not only the daily show, but also the daily bonus show. You also, as a member, get access to commercial-free audio or video feeds, whichever is your preference, to the commercial-free version of the show, and so many other great things. You can learn about all of it at joinpacman.com, and the coupon code SAVEDEMOCRACY24 remains available to anyone wanting a discount. I think our normal rates are quite reasonable, given the value that is there, but I understand that discounts are often preferable, and you can use the coupon code SAVEDEMOCRACY24 to save off of the cost of a membership at joinpacman.com. Determined to make fools of themselves, Republicans in the House of Representatives staged Biden crimes and Biden memory hearings with special prosecutor Robert Hur, and they backfired completely. I came away from these hearings more convinced than ever that Joe Biden has done nothing wrong and that cognitively he seems fine. Now, I want to remind everybody that Robert Hur is the special counsel who, in conjunction with the decision not to charge Joe Biden related to the classified document stuff that he was involved in, made some incredible judgments about how Joe Biden is an elderly guy whose memory is failing, and made all sorts of other judgments that would be better relegated to doctors, neurologists, and others. So he was brought before a panel yesterday and made a number of different elements of testimony, and it did not go well. It did not go well. Here is a friend of the show, Congressman Ted Lieu, a Democrat, asking Robert Hur a series of yes or no questions. And they really highlight the differences here between Trump and Biden with regard to the facts.
Say that the House Judiciary Committee is responsible for helping to enforce the rule of law. Unfortunately, the actions of this chairman in ignoring a bipartisan congressional subpoena have damaged the ability of this committee to get information from witnesses and damage the rule of law. Now, Mr. Herr, thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing your compelling immigrant story that just goes to highlight how America is a nation of immigrants. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, yes and no questions. They're not trick questions. They're simply designed to highlight what you already found in your report, which is that there are, quote, material distinctions, end quote, between President Biden's case and Mr. Trump's case. So here's my first question. In your investigation, did you find that President Biden directed his lawyer to lie to the FBI?
We identified no such evidence.
Did you find that President Biden directed his lawyer to destroy classified documents?
No.
Did you find that President Biden directed his personal assistant to move boxes of documents to hide them from the FBI?
Now, in case folks don't know the whole point of this, Trump did all of the things that Ted Lieu is asking about. If this is obvious, I apologize. I just want to make sure everybody has the information. The contrast here is Biden did none of the things that Ted Lieu is asking about, but Trump did do them.
Did you find that President Biden directed his personal assistant to delete security camera footage after the FBI asked for that footage?
No.
Did you find that President Biden showed a classified map related to an ongoing military operation to a campaign aide who did not have clearance?
No.
Did you find that President Biden engaged in a conspiracy to obstruct justice?
No.
Did you find that President Biden engaged in a scheme to conceal?
No.
Each of the activities I just laid out describe what Donald Trump did in his willful mishandling of classified information and his criminal efforts to deceive the FBI. In contrast, President Biden handed over documents without delay and complied fully with investigators.
This was very, very smart piece of questioning from Ted Lieu. And I do want to remind folks that a number of specific untruths have come forward from this investigation. Herr was given a chance to correct the record about what he said regarding Joe Biden's memory. There was a claim made that Biden didn't even remember the date of his son, Beau Biden's death. And Herr claims that Biden didn't remember it, except we now have the transcript. And in the transcript, Biden does remember the date. Herr is given the opportunity to correct the record. He just doesn't want to correct it.
And I want to give you a chance, since the transcript is out, to correct the record on an important point. Very sadly, your report on page 208 says that Mr. Biden couldn't come up with the date, the year of his son, Beau Biden's death, when in fact, in the transcript, it shows that you asked him the month. And do you know what he said, Mr. Herr? He said, oh, God, May 30th. Would you like to correct the record? His memory was pretty firm on the month and the day.
Congresswoman, I don't believe that's correct with respect to the transcript, but if you could refer me to a specific page, I'd be happy to look.
And my second document, to clarify for you, sir, Mr. Herr, from the transcription, page 82, the words are President Biden's. What month did Beau die? Oh, God, May 30th. A searing memory. I ask unanimous consent.
Without objection.
It is disgraceful that when confronted with his error, Biden didn't even remember the date of his son's death. It's in the transcript. Herr is confronted with it, and he refuses to admit it and correct the record, which he should have done. Congresswoman Escobar, in this next clip, again, walks Herr through the differences between the Joe Biden classified document situation and the Trump situation, and it is just as telling and compelling.
Special Counsel Smith has alleged that Trump willfully and knowingly took highly classified documents to a location accessible by tens of thousands of people. Mr. Herr, was President Biden's residence accessible to tens of thousands of people?
No.
Did President Biden ever bring tens of thousands of people into spaces where he stored classified material?
Not to my knowledge.
Did Joe Biden advertise and sell memberships to his home that would allow members of the public to have access?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did your investigation find that Joe Biden ever hosted movie premieres at his home while classified documents were stored there?
No.
Moving on, among the 150 staff members working at Mar-a-Lago was a Trump aide named Walt Nauta, According to Special Counsel Smith, Trump ordered NAUDA to move boxes of documents so that they could not be found by people looking for them. Mr. Herr, did President Biden ever direct his staff to move documents so that you or the FBI could not find them?
We did not identify evidence of that.
In fact, according to your report, as soon as Bob Bauer discovered material in President Biden's residence, he contacted John Lausch, and the president immediately consented to an FBI search of his home. Is that correct?
My report does state that.
So you get the picture here. No shortage of nonsense from Republicans. Here is Harriet Hageman bringing up Hillary's emails. I know it's been a decade. She brought up Hillary's emails. What can I say? They're obsessed.
Those people without the last name of Clinton or Biden Clinton. Are typically treated quite differently and seem to be the only ones who are never held accountable for violating the law.
Congresswoman, one of the things that I explain in my report is the fact that there are historical precedents with respect to former occupants of the White House and their retention of classified materials after they leave.
So I'm asking specifically about Mrs. Clinton and Mrs. Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. Anyway, these people are not serious at all. Here is another funny moment where Congresswoman Dean actually has her read the part of his own report where he does mention Donald Trump, and it's not so good. It's pretty humiliating.
That was not the case with Donald Trump. You have a copy of your report today, don't you, in front of you?
I do.
Could you read a portion of it for me? Your words, it is page 11, starting on line 3, beginning with the words, unlike the evidence involving Mr. Biden. Would you read the next few sentences?
Unlike the evidence involving Mr. Biden, the allegations set forth in the indictment of Mr. Trump, if proven, would present serious aggravating facts.
Keep going.
Congresswoman, I'm happy to have you read the words in my report.
Well, it's your report, so I think it actually is more fitting that you read those.
Most notably, after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite.
Keep going.
According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, but he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it.
So even in his own report, he admits that what Trump did is on a completely different scale. And then lastly, our friend Congressman Eric Swalwell actually pointing out the hypocrisy or the I guess we would call it conflict between a transcript in which Herr admits that Biden's memory is great versus his summary in which Herr says he didn't remember a damn thing.
I now want to turn you to the transcript and day one, page 47. You said to President Biden, you appear to have a photographic understanding and recall of the House. Did you say that to President Biden?
Those words do appear on page 47 of the transcript.
Photographic is what you said. Is that right?
That word does appear on page 47 of the transcript.
It does, doesn't it?
Never appeared in your report, though. Is that correct? The word photographic?
That does not appear in my report.
I now want...
There you go. So listen, it should be over. The only reason I hesitate to say it's over is because they don't care. Their witnesses on Biden crimes fell apart. The smoking gun about Biden's memory is directly contradicted by the transcript in multiple ways. It should be over. But these people aren't influenced by reality, so it may not be over. I want to get to one other kind of funny element of yesterday's hearings. Democrats absolutely humiliated Donald Trump on the national stage yesterday with multiple supercuts of his cognitive glitches during the Biden crimes and Biden memory hearings. Now, remember that the entire premise of these hearings was not only Biden did terrible things with classified documents, when the report from Robert Herr makes it clear, we're not going to charge Biden. And by the way, Trump did a lot of stuff that's worse. It also included judgments about Biden's memory, which were directly contradicted by the transcripts. But going beyond that, here is Congressman Jerry Nadler, who actually introduces into evidence a brutal, brutal supercut of Trump gaffing and glitching and short circuiting. It is an amazing thing to include in a congressional hearing.
Here, too, the record speaks for itself. One of the great memories of all time.
James Webb. I don't remember the names. Don't remember the name.
Viktor Orban. Did anyone ever hear of him? He's the leader of Turkey.
By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley is in charge of security.
3 years later, how about that?
Did you actually have a one-on-one with Comey?
Not much. Not even that I remember.
I like mosquitoes. We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them. Saudi Arabia and Russia. Will we be Turk? Oh,
I have a really good memory.
Your next wife was a woman by the name of Marla Maples.
That's right.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Maples?
It's called, like, up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember that.
And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear war, Terry. You heard that, nuclear.
We have to win in November. Well, we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name.
And I talked to Putin a lot.
Did you ask him that?
I don't remember that. I saw that this morning. I don't remember asking him that question.
I have a good memory and all that stuff, like a great memory.
For 20 years, they were fighting ISIS. I defeated ISIS in 4 weeks.
And we did with Obama. We won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
I'm not cognitively. And you know what? When I am, you're going to know it. You're going to be the first people. I know my people. You'll say, all right, Trump, you did a good job. Get the hell out of here. That's it.
Oh, man. Congressional testimony. Congressional testimony with the Trump cognitive reels. And we were early on this, folks. You have to admit we were early. They told me all about it. And then another moment where another Trump gaffe reel plays. And it's just stunning. These people bringing all of this on themselves.
Appeared in your report, though. Is that correct? The word photographic?
That does not appear in my report.
I now want to show you and play a video of what is absolutely not photographic.
In the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an ominous, gutless coward. We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat your I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation.
And I watch our police and our firemen down in 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center.
And we did.
They were down at a Quickie Mart. Yeah, really crazy stuff.
With Obama, we won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
This is the very definition of totalitarianism.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look. You remember this? Do you remember?
God bless the United States.
The windmills are driving them crazy. They're driving
the
whales, I think, a little batty.
And I went to Puerto Rico and I met with the president of the...
They cut it off because Eric Swalwell ran out of time. But that was the clip where Trump said he met with the president of the Virgin Islands, which is him. It's just unbelievable, this guy. Okay, so the Trump gaffe reels throughout the testimony. We're going to have to go to a break. Really just putting a fine point on the absurdity. They've got nothing on Biden criminally. They even are taking the transcript out of context with Biden's memory and Eric Swalwell. We've been in touch with Swalwell for a while and he's very aware of our show and he's been on. It's almost suspicious, the similarity between our gaffe reel and the one that Swalwell's staff put together. I'll just put it that way. But obviously these videos are out there. They don't necessarily go through our show, but nicely done there. Let's take a break. After the break, once things settle down here, I'll have a drink of water. We are going to look at an incredible example of a woman who has escaped the cult. How did she do it? You're not going to want to miss this. If you've been thinking about getting a new mattress, Helix Sleep is where I would start. I've been sleeping on Helix mattresses for years now. I recommend Helix to everyone, which is why I wanted them as a sponsor. If you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded number one mattress by both GQ and Wired magazine. And one of the things that makes Helix unique is their sleep quiz. I didn't really know what kind of mattress would be best for me, but you do this short sleep quiz. You answer questions about your body type and your preferences, what position you like to sleep in. And Helix will match you with the perfect mattress for you, so you know you're actually getting something tailored to your needs instead of going in blind like most people do. I got my Helix mattress designed to stay cool at night since I hate getting hot while I sleep. Shipping is always free. You get 100 nights to decide whether you like it. My audience gets a huge 20% discount off of all orders, plus two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/Pacman and enter code HELIXPARTNER20 at checkout. That's helixsleep.com/Pacman. Then use code HELIXPARTNER20 to get 20% off and two free pillows. The info is in the podcast notes. Let me tell you about something I use every day just because it's a way I can simplify my life. And I'm looking for simple these days. I don't always perfectly plan every meal and calculate every vitamin and mineral and micro. I get close, but the reason I turn to our sponsor AG1 is that it makes it easy every morning before my cappuccino. I have a scoop of AG1 mixed into water. I get the 75 vitamins and minerals that I want from whole food sourced ingredients, and it's just so easy. You can't find a more comprehensive powder supplement on the market. I get my daily nutrients. I increase my vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant intake. AG1 is just easier and it's more cost effective than dealing with dozens of vitamin bottles and the whole thing. Just simplify things for yourself with AG1. One scoop a day, get your nutritional bases covered. I recommend AG1 to friends. Many of them have picked it up and love it. Try AG1, get a free year supply of vitamin D3 and K2, plus five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/Pacman. That's drinkag1.com/Pacman. The link is in the podcast notes. We've said before, it's really tough to deprogram people from cults, including the Trump cult called MAGA. A woman named Beth has been successfully deprogrammed. Beth is a two-time Trump voter from Virginia. She regrets voting for Trump after January 6th. Let's hear from her in her own words. How did this deprogramming happen? How did she escape it? Extraordinarily instructive.
With Trump, evil is kind of on the ballot, and anyone on the other side against evil, I'm going to go ahead and choose the other side. Hi, I'm Beth, and I'm from Virginia. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020, but I would never vote for him again. January 6th for me was kind of like a sucker punch. I guess I was in denial a lot and just thought, okay, our country has it together and we're going to be fine and we're going to move on from this. And January 6th was kind of like, this is not the party that I thought we had. This is not the country that I thought we had. When he, Donald Trump, threw his vice president under the bus and threw him to the wolves and the lions, that was when, like, the, you know, being sick to my stomach and deciding that, first of all, that I regretted having voted twice for the man who was leading this group of people.
Now, I want to interject here with one thing. I know that we can look at this woman, Beth, and say, man, year after year, you vote for the guy twice. Nothing he does dissuades you until January 6th. So where is your barometer? It's easy to criticize, but listen closely to what she's saying. She says the first step was realizing she regretted it. And part of being able to regret it is feeling like the environment will allow you to regret it. And this comes to the element of the deprogramming of cult members where we say it has to be a welcoming environment. It has to be an environment in which they feel it is okay, where they are willing to say, I regret it. I did the wrong thing. Because if you don't provide that space, you don't even get to what she describes as step one, which is the regret.
To do those really terrible things. There are so many things that worry me about Trump becoming president again. I don't think any person who has gotten close enough to being indicted for a felony should be anywhere near the presidency. It's just embarrassing and just lowering the standards of what the office should be. I have no hesitancy voting for Biden because, you know, with Trump, evil is kind of on the ballot. And anyone on the other side against evil, I'm going to go ahead and choose the other side, whoever they may be. I'm sure a lot of people don't enjoy or like Biden, but honestly, the last 4 years have been a bit, or the last ever how many years he's been in office has been a bit refreshing. I'll take kind older man any day over the tyrant that we know as Trump.
This is a critically clear analysis of what's at stake in the competing visions. This is from Republican Voters Against Trump, which highlights folks like this, like Beth, who have changed their minds at the end of the day. So there is so much here to unpack. But for our purposes, a few important things to mention. Number one, Beth showing very clearly that principle about a welcoming, non-judgmental environment for people to say, hey, you know, I did mess up. That was wrong. I'm going to completely change my view. When you acknowledge that you made such a mistake, it takes, I don't want to use the word courage because it feels too much. It feels cliche, but it takes willingness for self-criticism. Because when you say, I voted for a tyrant twice and that was a bad idea, you're acknowledging you can be bamboozled, you can be tricked, you didn't analyze it correctly. It is an implicit criticism of yourself and your ability to determine what's what. And so that really can't be understated. Now, the other thing that's important to mention is this is not an election that is likely to come down to former Trump voters who vote for Biden, but will take them. As I've said, from a strategy and tactics standpoint, it is much easier to just find people who think Trump's a menace and remind them why it's so important to vote and that it's just a matter of going out and voting. You don't have to do anything crazy. Just show up and vote on November 5th for Biden. But we'll obviously gladly accept folks like Beth who realize the mistake that they made. So extraordinarily interesting video. The deprogramming can happen. It's a big deal. It doesn't happen easily, but it can happen. In the midst of MAGA chaos in the Republican Party, Republican Congressman Ken Buck is quitting next week, and he has torched Republicans on the way out and sets up radical and repugnant Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert to take an electoral pounding by putting her in a nearly impossible position. Let's take a look at what's going on. New York Times reports Ken Buck cuts short House term, leaving Republicans down yet another member. Remember that the Republican Party has a very small majority now, made even smaller by the expulsion of George Santos, of actor winner, Oscar winner and director of photography, George Santos, as many know him. This will leave Republicans controlling just 218 out of 435 seats. That is a slim, slim, slim majority. Now, Buck had already said, as the article points out, he would retire at the end of the term, citing his party's election denialism and refusal by many to condemn the riots on January 6th. But this now creates a very complicated situation because he's leaving next week for Lauren Boebert. Business Insider explains, Lauren Boebert says special election triggered by Ken Buck's resignation is swampy and could confuse voters. And that is indeed true. Representative Ken Buck is retiring, teeing up a special election in the 4th Colorado district on June 25. It could shake up the Republican primary where Boebert is running. So here's here's what's going on. Lauren Boebert is running in the competitive Republican primary in the 3rd District of Colorado, and the primary is on June 25th. On the same day, there is now going to be a special election to fill Buck's seat on June 25. And this is potentially going to get very, very complicated. The whole point here is let's do both elections on the same day in order to save money. And as Newsweek points out, Lauren Boebert gets put in a terrible position. Boebert faces a tricky decision. Buck, a Republican, announced he's retiring from his district. Boebert represented the third district since 2021 and announced she is seeking the Republican nomination for Buck's district instead. I'm sorry, I might have said she's actually running in three. She's moving from three to four and running in the primary for four. But now there's a special election for four. So this is now going to complicate things significantly. There is going to be a primary and a special election. And as Newsweek points out, Boebert faces the tough decision as to whether to stay the current course and seek the Republican nomination and contend for that seat in the general in November, or does she enter the special election? If Boebert were to enter the special election, she would have to give up her seat in the third district. That seat would now be vacant, and it would require another special election, and that runs the risk she could lose that. So what should she do? I have absolutely no idea. But what this does reinforce is the possibility that come January of 2025, Lauren Boebert will not be a member of Congress. And that's a delightful, delightful possibility. Here's Ken Buck on CNN yesterday talking about his decision to leave and to leave now.
Republican of Colorado, you just came from the hearing. Before we get to that, you announced some big news. You're leaving Congress at the end of next week.
I am, yes. I'm resigning my seat and creating a vacancy in my district.
Why?
Well, everywhere I go in Colorado, Dan, I hear that people are not happy with Trump and they're not happy with Biden. And I think we need to change our electoral laws here. And I have a passion for that. And I'm going to leave and I'm going to find the right organization to join. And I'm going to start working on that issue. We have to have better candidates up and down the ballot, not just president, but Senate, House, local offices. We've got to find better ways to elect candidates and bring America together.
You already had announced that you were going to not run for re-election. Why leave now and leave a vacancy in an already very narrow majority for your party?
Yeah, because it's important to get in the mix of this election cycle and start talking about the issues that people recognize are such a problem right now.
You know, my colleague Melanie Zanona is reporting that there is such tension among House Republicans that many of them aren't even going to a retreat that's going to happen at the end of this week. Is that tension part of why you're leaving so abruptly?
I think this place is dysfunctional. For example, I am the number third ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. I haven't even asked my questions yet. 40, 50 people have gone before me.
So he's making it very clear that there is complete and total dysfunction in the Republican Party, and generally couching it as there's dysfunction in general. But here he says that this is as bad as it's been in 40 years.
Of the fact that you are leaving March 22nd, next Friday, how much does that have to do with the fact that Trump is the presumptive nominee and you're not exactly a fan?
Well, I don't think whether he was the nominee or not, I think our system is broken in how we choose candidates, and I want to get involved in that process.
Is it really that miserable right now to be? I mean, from the outside in, it doesn't look that fun. From the inside in, is it that bad that you're saying I'm done?
It is the worst year of the 9 years and 3 months that I've been in Congress. And having talked to former members, it's the worst year in 40, 50 years to be in Congress. But I'm leaving because I think there's a job to do out there that I want to go do.
So listen, this is not about glorifying Ken Buck, but he's been willing to say some basic truths that many Republicans haven't. For that, it is certainly interesting that there is essentially no place left for him in the Republican Party. In a sense, it's similar to Mitt Romney, although not exactly the same. In terms of the majority, this leaves Republicans with a two-seat majority in the immediate. And in terms of what it does to Lauren Boebert, hopefully it destroys her political career. So an interesting move. We will take a break and be back with much more right after this. As many of you have heard me say before, when I go to a wine shop, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm Argentinian and I still know almost nothing about wine. So if you're like me, you might be able to use some help. Our sponsor, Naked Wines, has you covered. Naked Wines is a subscription service that will connect you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. You pay a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores because they cut out the retail middlemen. You get exclusive access to hundreds of top quality award-winning wines. They get delivered however often you want, perfect for any type of wine drinker. You'll get background information on the bottle. You have friends over. You can seem like you know something by telling them something about the wine. My girlfriend likes white wine. I'm more of a red guy by necessity just because I'm Argentinian, even though I know absolutely nothing. So we get like a split box that has a few bottles of each. Every bottle is a passion project from some independent winemaker. So you're literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true. You'll get your first six bottles for $39.99. Go to nakedwines.com/Pacman and click enter voucher at the top and type in Pacman as the code and as the password. That's nakedwines.com/Pacman. Enter Pacman as the code and password. The info is in the podcast notes. One of our sponsors today is Manscaped, your destination for male grooming. Manscaped's new Lawnmower 5.0 trimmer is your key to looking and feeling good all over. It's equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever you want. And it's waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. For guys who want the full grooming experience, go for Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0, which comes with the lawnmower trimmer, but also the ear and nose trimmer, and some essential aftercare products like the Crop Soother Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Deodorizer, plus two free gifts, Manscaped's Boxers 2.0 and the Shed 2.0 toiletry bag. Manscaped is trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, including me. There are only a couple of products like this on the market. Manscaped is the one you want to go with, whether you're shopping for yourself or a guy in your life. Go to manscaped.com and use the code Pacman for 20% off and free shipping. That's manscaped.com. Then use code Pacman to get 20% off and free shipping. The info is in the podcast notes. Donald Trump recently hosted the authoritarian leader of Hungary, Viktor Orban, at his house. This is a really bad look, especially since we already know about Trump loving dictators and wanting to be one and wanting to do dictator things. And Republican Senator Lindsey Graham appeared on NBC's Meet the Press, and he was asked about the meeting, and he became completely out of his mind, coming unglued. These people don't like being asked real questions. They don't like taking responsibility for reality. So we're going to take a look at it. They played a video clip first for Lindsey of Trump talking about how great it is to have Viktor Orban at his house. And then Lindsey is asked, is this a good look? Trump cozying up to Orban when he wants us to believe he's not a dictator? And Lindsey doesn't like it. This is not the type of question Republicans want to be answering right now.
That's better, smarter, or a better leader than Viktor Orban. He's fantastic. He's the, as you know, the Prime Minister of Hungary, and does a great job. He's a non-controversial figure because he said this is the way it's going to be, and that's the end of it, right? He's the boss.
And again, that is Trump playing coy with being a dictator. She says this is how we'll do it, and we'll execute the drug dealers, quick trial, always guilty. That's it. It's simple. It's tough. It makes sense in some way. The way Orban says it is the way it is. Well, Trump would like that, wouldn't he?
Do you think Viktor Orban's leadership is something that Trump aspires to in a second term?
I think the best way to judge President Trump's second term is by what he did in his first term. You know, Russia didn't invade on President Trump's watch. Hamas didn't try to destroy Israel on his watch. The Afghanistan, the Taliban weren't in charge on his watch. So here's what I would say. If you're worried about the world being on fire, you're right. If you think Joe Biden's policies are lack of deterrence and he's weak in the eyes of our enemies, you're right. So if you want to get the world back in order, you better vote for Trump.
But you know that former President Trump has talked about being a dictator on day one. He said it's nice to have a strong man running our country. He's talked about retribution in a second term, Senator.
You know what he said? Retribution would be success. Did, you know, who knocked Trump off the ballot in Colorado? Who knocked Trump off the ballot in Maine? There's a liberal jihad against everything Trump.
Oh, boy, he is not pleased with this, is he?
I'm not worried about Trump destroying democracy. I'm worried about Joe Biden destroying the world.
Those were Republicans in the Supreme Court. Has now put him back on the ballot.
But the point you're trying to ask me, is Trump bad for this country?
No.
I would say that Joe Biden's policies are bad for America.
How dare you ask about Trump cozying up to an authoritarian strongman? Can't you see, Kristen, that Biden's the real problem here, even if I can't actually assign blame to Biden for any of the things that I'm saying?
And have got the world on fire.
Senator, just be very clear, though, he is aligning himself with Viktor Orban, who
who's a member of NATO, who just voted to let Sweden in.
Who has
Sweden in.
Reluctantly, though, but he has
Orban's not on the ballot. Let's have a debate. Orban is not on the ballot. You got to vote between Trump and Biden. Biden has screwed the world up every way you can.
You know, I was reading a very interesting article. By the way, Lindsey's completely unhinged. I mean, he's just absolutely furious at this lie, at even having to defend this. How dare you put me in a position to even have to suggest that any cozying up to Orban is a problem, especially when Trump has made clear his dictatorial aspirations and authoritarian wet dreams that he seems to have every single night. I read a very interesting article, the premise of which is, you know, a lot of people love to talk about Biden's been good domestically, but his foreign policy is kind of a mess. And the article, I wish I had it. It just occurred to me now that I read it over the weekend. The article made the point that Biden's foreign policy really hasn't actually been bad. A lot of the concerns about too much dependence on Chinese manufacturing has been alleviated through the Biden administration. Incentivizing and as a result, moving more manufacturing to Mexico, for example. Now, some people are furious about that. But if you want to reduce your dependence on China without everything costing more, Mexico is certainly a reasonable place to look. That when it comes to Ukraine, we've gotten a relatively good deal in holding off authoritarian strongman Putin's takeover of Ukraine without boots on the ground and with a very, very modest fraction of our military budget. That's been quite good. Biden has shown a commitment to the importance of international agreements and NATO, Sweden now part of NATO. The point is, the article rejected the idea that Biden's been good domestically but bad on foreign policy, and in fact has made the argument Biden's actually been kind of okay on foreign policy. Doesn't matter to folks like Lindsey. He's furious at having to even deal with these questions, and we know where his bread is buttered, for lack of a better term. Deranged Fox News host Maria Bartiromo says her friend saw so-called illegals and knew they were, quote, illegal because they looked illegal. This is where they are. OK, this came during an interview with Laura Trump. I don't even know how she pronounces her name. Eric Trump's wife. And with no shame, hesitation, or even a bit of, should I really be saying this? Here is Maria Bartiromo saying, a friend of mine identified people as, quote, illegals because they looked like illegals. This is bonkers stuff.
I had a friend the other day tell me she was standing at a food truck. Two gentlemen approached her. One had tattoos all over his face. They looked like illegals, she said. And one had a clipboard, and he said to her, hello, miss, do you want to sign up to become a Democrat and vote? So you're talking about people that you want to hire. They're already doing that. And they may be doing it with illegals coming into this country.
So first of all, there's a little bit of grammatical ambiguity as to whether the so-called illegals were, quote, being signed up to be Democrats, which, by the way, isn't a thing, but or whether the so-called illegals were the ones holding the clipboard, signing other people up. The grammar is a mess. The story is a mess. The implications are a mess. But I guess what Maria is telling us is that her friend saw people, maybe here legally, maybe not, with clipboards signing others up. I guess they must have been brown, right? Like what? I don't even know. This is just a verbal ink blot. They were signing undocumented immigrants up to be Democrats and vote. Now, a couple different things. You don't sign up people to be Democrats. I don't even know what that means. And also, you can't get on any voter roll if you're an undocumented immigrant. This story, and by the way, look at Lara Trump just loving the story, absolutely titillated by the story. This story is basically the epitome of everything that is going horribly wrong with these people. The idea that, I guess, if you have, what are they really saying, right? It almost feels weird to have to try to break it down, but I guess her friends saw darker skinned people with face tattoos and said they must be undocumented. I don't even know. But that is now the sign that Democrats are signing up undocumented immigrants to vote, which, of course, they can't do. They can't even get on voter rolls if they are not citizens of the United States. This is where they are. Let's defeat it. Let's put it in the dustbin of history, as Ron DeSantis liked to say, and do away with it in November. We have a voicemail number, 219-2-DAVID-P. Here's a really special call. Donald Trump called into the show. Now, obviously, this is some kind of joke. It's pretty good. Here's the question I have for you. Is this AI or is this an impersonator? Let's listen.
Hello, David. This is your favorite president and, quite frankly, the best president in history, a lot of people are saying. Tremendous to hear from you. David Pakman is what we're calling him. Look, I hear you've said some great things about me. And frankly, some not so great, if you can believe that. Compliments to our fantastic program, Derek. I don't know, maybe your name is Derek. A lot of people are saying David, but we're looking into it and we're looking closely.
I'm leaning towards AI right now.
Look, I'm a total loser. A total loser. I hate losers. Yeah, I hate myself, quite frankly. I'm terribly insecure. And my cult will follow me to the end of the earth. And with my help, we will bring about the end of the earth, hopefully very soon. The media are so horrible and dishonest, nasty, quite frankly. They won't report that we've become a third world country. Look, I got to go, David. My diaper's full, filled to the brim. A lot of people are saying, and smelling, quite frankly. You've been duped, folks. We love to see it. Keep it up. You're selling your country for a red hat.
There you go. All right. So I'm leaning AI, but let me know something about the cadence that seemed a little bit off. But it is getting pretty good. It is getting pretty good. We've got a great bonus show for you today. Andrew Tate, apparently, after dealing with his Romania trial, will be extradited to the UK for further criminal proceedings. And I want to talk about that. These are the Tate brothers. I really have never cared about them. And my interest has just been, how have they become gurus in the manosphere? It's weird. And I want to talk about the fact that there are still people supporting them. It's hard to believe. We will talk about Airbnb banning the use of indoor security cameras. And I want to talk a little bit about that and some experiences I've had. And RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., running third party in the presidential race this year, has indicated or indicted that the top choices for him for vice president are NFL quarterback anti-vaccine Aaron Rodgers or former David Pakman show guest Jesse the Body Ventura, former independent governor of the state of Minnesota. So a lot is going on in RFK Jr.'s camp. We will discuss all of that and more when I am joined by producer Pat on the bonus show, which you can find by signing up at joinpakman.com. Coupon code SAVEDEMOCRACY24. We will be back tomorrow with so much more.